welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Good morning, Kingwood. Well, since you're all standing, let's read God's word in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And I'm coming from the NIV. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of God for you and for me, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Father, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. O Lord, whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me, but bless me to rightly divide your word and feed your people. In Jesus Christ I pray. Thank God and amen. I'm excited about this sermon series on restoration, as I believe now, particularly in the time that we're living in, is a great time to remind some and introduce to others Jesus' restorative power. Because if there's ever been a time that we need Jesus, it sure is now. One of the things that I love about the Gospels are the different perspectives that they offer of the same stories. You can see this same story of blind Bartimaeus also will be found in the Gospels of Matthew, chapter 20, 29 through 34, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, 35 through 42. However, there is a distinctive difference between Matthew and Mark's interpretation of this narrative, as Mark's gospel gives sole ownership to Bartimaeus as being the blind man that is in need of healing, whereas Matthew's gospel tells of Jesus healing two blind men. Mark tells us that Bartimaeus cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. But Matthew's version says, Lord, have mercy on us. Could it be that the Holy Spirit used the Gospel of Matthew to tell us that whenever we find ourselves feeling disabled, desperate, and in need of healing from Jesus, to know that we are never alone, but that someone else is also in need of God's healing power? I believe that Matthew enlarges this narrative in such a way that it solidifies the underlying message in this story, which goes beyond healing and faith and pushes us to understand that at some point in our lives, we have, we will, or we are currently the blind man that the Gospels speak of. However, for the sake of this gathering on this morning, we're going to look at the blind man called Bartimaeus through the eyes of Mark. The story of the blind beggar is a biblical staple for the Christian believer. I grew up hearing the story of the old blind man who was on the side of the road begging. always had the impression that he was a man of pity and desperation for someone to hear his cries. And I always celebrated the story and the resolve that it was, that this was the classic example of Jesus doing what Jesus does. He's doing what I've always been taught all my life that he does. He heals the sick, he raises the dead, he causes the blind to see and the deaf to hear. However, I've learned that this story is not just a story of a blind man receiving sight, but it's about his courage to believe that which he could not see. It is about his faith. Because faith is the catalyst for us to receive God's healing, restorative power. Bartimaeus could not physically see, yet he had perfect vision. That's what faith does, beloved. It gives us vision. For Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Understand that blind Bartimaeus had more faith than some of those that could see. As a matter of fact, some scholars argue, and because they believe that the story of Bartimaeus is not so much about Bartimaeus being blind, but it is metaphoric and frames the blindness of Jesus' own disciples. You see, although the disciples were the chosen 12 that walked alongside Jesus, they had some discrepancies of their own where Jesus was concerned. Mark was hard on the disciples. He has a reputation of being hard on the disciples because he's very critical of them, because he believed that they failed to see and understand exactly who Jesus was, and he was right in front of them. He's known for calling them failures, as he believed that they made careless mistakes when it came to being faithful to the Messiah. They made careless mistakes when being committed to walking with Jesus. So here, we believe that Mark uses blind Bartimaeus as a contradiction to the disciples to say, how can someone who is physically blind see Jesus in the spirit when you, the disciples, have physical sight and could not see him in the spirit? I wondered that myself. I've wondered, how did Bartimaeus muster up enough courage after all he's endured to push past all the people and the distractions of the crowd and cry out to Jesus, Son of David? He physically could not see Jesus, Son of David, yet his faith gave him a clear view. Could it be that his disability was the catalyst for his ability to push past all the distractions of the large crowd to receive his healing? I believe in my sanctified spirit that Jesus wants us to glean from Bartimaeus' unwavering favor and unwavering faith and cheer up on your feet, because he's calling for us. He wants to restore us from whatever we stand in need of. All we must do is have the faith to push past the distractions around us. Verse 50 tells us that Bartimaeus he threw his cloak aside and he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Understand that by definition, a cloak is an outer garment used in cold weather and as bedding at night. Thus I find, and this is just my spirit, this is just how I process. I just see Jesus in everything. And so I do. Thus I find that the cloak is symbolic of forsaking the man-made protection to embrace his internal protection from Jesus. The truth is that at some point in our lives, we're going to have to take a page out of Bartimaeus' book and get to Jesus to receive that which we stand in need of. We're going to have to release whatever has been surrounding us and embrace Jesus. I can imagine that while being amongst the large crowd, Bartimaeus probably felt like his physical disability would not matter to Jesus. that the crowd had drowned out any possibility that Jesus would stop and personally see about him and his needs and hear his cry. This is indicative of how sometimes we can feel and become intimidated by others and about the noise that surrounds us, and come to the resolve that surely Jesus isn't going to stop and hear and tend to my cry, for I'm too minimal for this maximum God. Can you imagine being blind on the side of the road and all you hear is the noise from the crowd, being overlooked and rejected and abandoned? Yet Bartimaeus pushed past all of the noise and all of the distractions. And he even understand that the noise and the distractions was even his disability. He pushed past the people and he pushed past his blindness and cried out to Jesus to receive his healing. Like Bartimaeus, you must look at whatever obstacles, disabilities, and distractions in your life that has tried to deter you from getting to Jesus for your healing. Because this is the beauty of worshiping and loving a risen Savior, because his sovereignty allows him to personally tend to our plea and hear our cries, even in the midst of the noise. We know this because verse 49 tells us that Jesus called Bartimaeus to him. Jesus stood still and told the disciples, call him. You're here today, and you may be facing some serious obstacles that have had you discouraged in believing that Jesus could call on you even in the midst of the crowd, believing that God will not answer your prayer because you're blind. Because of whatever disability is plaguing you. You've been dealing with disability, and only you know whatever it is. But you've been dealing with for so long that you've gotten comfortable with people overlooking and abandoning you because the devil has told you that you don't matter and Jesus can't hear you. Oh, but the Lord sent me here today to tell you that you couldn't be farther from the truth. For the word of God in James 4 and 7 and through 8 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Beloved, but he wants you to push past those distractions and exercise your faith and cry out to Jesus, Son of David. For he hears, he answers, and he restores. Understand that Bartimaeus was bold and he was courageous. He had the heart to believe that Jesus of Nazareth was going to heal him, so much so that he went past just saying Jesus, but he said, Son of David. See, sometimes you got to call on Jesus in a way that gets his attention. Because we know, because the word of God tells us, after which he was restored. And so I didn't come to talk to you long on today. This is probably one of the quickest sermons you've ever heard. But that's all right. Because in closing, I want you to know that Jesus empowers us to be like blind Bartimaeus. He empowers us to push past our distractions, to push past the noise in the crowd, and to stand before him to receive the healing that we all need and that by his grace we are all offered. Understand that distractions will come, so expect them. But understand that the Messiah is passing by. I'm reminded of a great friend of mine who was devastated by an unexpected termination at her job. She was doing great on her job. And she felt blindsided by this because she could not see where God was leading her. She couldn't see the victory that lied ahead. And even more, she was left even more confused because one of the higher-ups in her company told her as she was leaving the premises, because you know when they terminate you, they ask you to leave the premises. He said, "I'm so sorry that this happened to you. But don't worry, because with your gifts and talents, I'm sure you're going to land on your feet." My friend was even more confused because her thoughts were, "Well, why am I being fired? If you all know that I'm going to land on my feet, why am I being fired if y'all know that I'm gifted?" And so, well, I came to tell you all that some 7 years later, not only did she land on her feet, but she landed big time on her feet. She is now the CEO of her own company and has recovered all that was lost. As a matter of fact, she is projected to be a millionaire within the next 5 years. But understand that she was devastated by the loss of her job. But even in that, and she felt blindsided. But even in that, she never lost her faith in Jesus. She'd call me crying, and she said, "I cannot believe I've lost my job. I was so invested. I gave them so much. I put so much into what I was doing, and I was great at what I did." She said, "I can't see what God is doing, but I know He's going to restore." Because one of the things that they said to me as I was going out the door is, "I'm going to land on my feet." And so it was that phrase that she fed upon, that even in the days when she would feel lost and abandoned and blindsided and say, "Lord, I need you to heal me internally. I need you to heal me from this loss." She would hear those words, "On your feet." And so, friends, I came to tell you today that you must remember to never forget the power that you possess through Jesus, the author and the giver of our faith, knowing that there will never be a disability, physical or mental, that you will have that will disable your ability to get to God. His love for us is never disabled because it is steadfast, immovable, and it is always abounding. And I want to encourage you that whenever those times arise in your life, to pick up your word and to cheer up, and to know that regardless of whatever you stand in need of, God's going to restore it because you're going to land on your feet. This is the Word of God. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.